John chapter number 10. Let's go to John chapter number 10 to start tonight, and where we end up, yea, no man knoweth. But we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit here. There's some things, there's a couple different directions stirring, and we'll see which direction we get led on. Praise the Lord. Have you been enjoying this?
Yes.
Last time I preached on this here, there was a group that came up afterwards and just talked after the service with us for, I don't know, 30 minutes maybe. And so I can sense a real hunger.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And this, the emphasis of this series is not money. The emphasis is the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. So you remember, you're turning to John chapter number 10, but you remember I said to you, I'm really starting some of this series talking about some of the things that the Lord first said to me whenever I asked Him for some help. Back years ago, I said, Lord, help me. I'm struggling.
Yes.
And some of the first things He said to me is what we're sharing. And one of the things we've mentioned to you a couple of times is when the Lord said to me, my prosperity doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. It begins when my word finds a home in your heart.
Yeah.
And that we shared last time, I think, 2 weeks ago, on the word finding a home in your heart.
Yeah.
In other words, embracing it.
Yes.
If you're at home in somebody's house, you kick up your feet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And depending on how at home you feel, you get into every area of their house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their kitchen or refrigerator,
yeah.
You know. So, but anyway, so we talked about that. And what the Lord was talking to me about this afternoon has to do with if the word is going to find a home in your heart, the main place that happens according to the way God has set things up is sitting under a local church and a pastor in a local church.
Amen.
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 So John chapter number 10, this might seem like an interesting verse to start this approach to prosperity out on as far as the pastor's office, but it is how the Lord led me here. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Nothing the devil does is doing you any good. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Say it out loud, that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Now that's verse number 10. But he said, he gave us in the particular teaching that this is in the context of, he gave us 9 verses before that, that you have to understand the 9 verses before that to really fully understand what he's saying in verse number 10. Praise God. So say it out loud. He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. How many of you know abundance is his nature? Hallelujah. Everything he has it in abundance. And let me tell you this, also everything he gives it to us in abundance. We could go through scriptures like we've already done in this series. You know, joy that he gives us is unspeakable. In other words, it's more abundant than you know how to express. The peace he gives, it passes all understanding. You can't describe it to people that have never experienced it. Whenever he said the drink of the Spirit, he said, don't drink wine in excess, but drink of the Spirit. You could say in excess. You know, you go through the Bible, the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. Actually, you back up. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me, and so forth. Then he gets down. My cup runs over because I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So all these verses just tells us he's a too much God. And he always is going to be too much for you. In other words, he's going to be more than enough in every area of your life. And that's true. The abundant life is not here in John 10. It's not just finances. That would be way too limiting. But it includes finances. I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundant. I'm coming that you might have joy and have it more abundantly, have peace and have it more abundantly, and have health and have it more abundantly, have wisdom and have it more abundantly, and so forth and so on and so on and so on, but have finances and have them more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many of you know he came that we might have?
Yes.
You could just stop right there and preach a whole sermon that we might have. He didn't come to take something from you. You know, some people, they the call of God is on their life, and they just want to ignore it because they think, if I do that, I won't ever have anything. That's not true. He came that you might have and have it more abundantly, more abundantly. Praise God. Obeying the plan is where your abundance is. Following, remember Ephesians 2:10, taking paths which he has prepared, living the good life. If he called you to the ministry, kick your heels and shout and say, well, there's my abundance right there. If he hasn't called you to the ministry, kick your heels and say it somewhere else. So, but people struggle in these things. They say, well, you know, if I do that, if I obey God, then I'll never have anything. That's a lie. The devil wants you to think that. And so, how many of you know when it comes to finances, he came to give us life and that more abundantly? He didn't say give and it'll be given unto you just a little bit, trickling. No, he said it'll be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Talk about finances, running over. Before we leave, you're going to be happy. Malachi 3, talking about the tithe. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. That's abundance. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to maybe two good works, because that's all you got left over for. No, every good work. If you look at that verse closely and you actually examine it, it's a limitless supply. We would call that independently wealthy. You look at it closely and see what it's actually saying. Not through religious glasses, but what it's actually saying. He's talking about a really a limitless supply. We would call it independently wealthy. You ever heard that term, independently wealthy? So, but anyway, so, but this is the plan of God. And so he's talking about that. The only limits really God has put on us is, us. he said, remember in Psalm 78:41, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We're the ones that limit God. Well, Pastor, then how much is enough? Well, you can't find any verses in the Bible that says, thus saith the Lord, when you get to this much, yea, that is enough. And yea, if you have more than this much, yea, thou art in excess. There's no verse like that in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Amen. God didn't set how much enough is in the Bible. There's no verse that tells you an amount that is enough. And if you go over that amount, it's just too much. No, there's no verse like that. Praise the Lord. So I am come that you might have it, have life and have it more abundantly. So eternal life is not just, you know, because that's another way this word life is translated in the New Testament. Have life and have it more. Life is eternal life. It's the word zoe. It's also translated eternal life. That's only one way it's translated is eternal. It's not just a length of existence. Eternal means a length of existence, because if eternal life was just a length of existence, then every person has eternal life. Because everyone is a spirit being and will live forever. Or let's put it this way, exist forever. Even in a devil's hell. Amen. Spirits don't die. So eternal life is just not a length of existence. If you look it up, and according to John 10:10, it's one of the clearest verses on it, eternal life is a quality of life. And it doesn't start when thou goest to heaven. I know this is simple teaching, but listen, we got to start somewhere. So it's going to be, Jesus said, he that believeth hath eternal life. In other words, it starts immediately when you're born again. You don't have to wait till thou goest to heaven before you have eternal life. And eternal life is not just a length of existence. It's a quality of living down here. It's a quality of living that you can't have without God in your life. And you can't have without the new birth in your life. Amen. And as we'll see as we go, you can't have without a shepherd teaching you how to walk in it. That might not be real clear to you right now, but back up to verse 1 of John chapter number 10. We read verse 10, right? But look at verse number 1. Jesus is speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Okay, let's, before we go any further, go down to verse number 7. Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man go in, he'll be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Okay, so Jesus is the door. Back up to verse 1. Any man that he that entereth not by the door, so who's the door here? Jesus enters not through Jesus, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Okay. So listen to that very closely, because when he gets to John 10:10, he talks about that thief and that robber. Yeah. Right? Okay, so this is all flowing together. This is not just one verse 10 all alone. The same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, in other words, through me, is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, somebody said, okay, Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, from verses 11 through verse 18, he's the shepherd of the sheep. But from verse 1 through 10, he's the door. Look at it very carefully. Read it very carefully. And you'll see that Jesus talks about him being the door in verses 1 through 10. And from verses 11 through 18, he's the shepherd. Okay, so but keep him as the door in this first 10 verses, and you'll see what he's talking about. Then to him, verse 2, he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, he's making it plain that he's the door, but he also makes it plain that there's someone coming through the door that he calls the shepherd of the sheep, who is somebody different than him in these first 10 verses. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth. In other words, the doorkeeper. If you look up the word porter, it means doorkeeper. Openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, this is the shepherd that came in through Jesus, through the door. See, pastors don't have access to pastor the flock unless they come through Jesus, and Jesus calls them, anoints them, and sets them in the church as it pleased him.
Amen.
Nobody's a pastor because, well, this sounds like a good career. I'll make business cards, and I'll get a name tag and put it on my desk that says pastor. You got to go through Jesus. Anybody that is not called and anointed of God is not a true pastor, and nobody should be sitting under their ministry. Just a businessman that thought, well, I can do that. I can be a pastor too. No, not if you're not anointed and called of God. All right. Verse number 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, and they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, but they for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, he mentions a thief and a robber up there in verse number 2. Now, verse number 1, excuse me. Now, he's mentioned about strange voices. And then he mentions that again later. And then he mentions John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. All right. So, verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake to them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. All right. And then he says in verse number 10, the thief comes not before to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. But he said right before that, and any man that comes through me and is made a pastor comes through the door. he'll be saved, not through the pastor, but through the door of Jesus. How many of you know we know Jesus? Verse number 9 is misunderstood by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. All of us know that. All believers know that.
Yeah.
You got to go through Jesus to be saved.
That's right.
But Jesus didn't stop there, period.
Yeah. Right.
He said, extra, read all about it.
Yeah.
There's something more for you in salvation than just salvation in me. The potential is there for you to be to find pasture in me. But to be saved, notice he goes in verse number 9, the door, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In and out. And he talked about the pastor, the shepherd. Now, how many of you know the Greek word pastor is also the same Greek word translated pastor, shepherd in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Same Greek word, pastor and shepherd.
Yeah.
So he's talking about pastors here.
Yeah.
How he's talking about you need more than just being saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a pastor.
Yes.
Believers need pastors.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Remember, he saw the people scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And they were faint and scattered by the predator, if you look it up, because he was devouring them because they didn't have somebody to feed them the word of God, renew their mind, build their faith, and stand up in faith and resist the devil and make him flee. So there's this verse number 9, there's salvation mentioned there, but there is pasture mentioned here. Now, what is pasture? Pasture is what is abundance. It's a term for abundance. Remember, the Lord is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still. He leadeth me in green pastures for His name's sake. Very next thing He said after being not having want, He's talking about pastures.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
And notice he says he goes in and out and finds pasture. Now you got to understand everything he said there, and you got to understand what this sheepfold is and so forth. And let me kind of give you this, because in the culture that he was speaking in, they all understood this, but in our culture, we don't know anything about this. But at nighttime, for protection for the sheep, the shepherds, they would out on the hillside somewhere, rather than take them all the way back into the town, they would just build little outer rocks a lot of times, just little kind of sanctuary, kind of protected place out there on the hillside. And they just take all the sheep into there in the nighttime. And a lot of times there was more, and you can see that from the way it's stated here, there was more than one shepherd's flock in there at nighttime. Because he said, whenever in the morning time comes, verse number 4, he puts forth the shepherd, puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There's different flocks in there, and some of them are Uncle Ernest's flock. Some of them are Bubba Jones' flock, and some of them are your flock. So in the morning when you get up, you don't get in there and you say, which one do you belong to? You just get up there and you would call to the sheep.
Right. Yeah.
They know your voice, and those sheep would come out. If they weren't your flock, they didn't recognize your voice. Right? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? And usually they say there's usually every flock of sheep, they say, has one lead sheep. Probably most of the time, I think it was an older female. And the shepherd would call to that female. We don't know what the female sheep's name was, but let's say it was Betsy. So he'd get up in the morning and he wants to take his sheep out to the pasture. Betsy. And Betsy hears that. She comes out, and there's a lot of other sheep that would follow that sheep. That Betsy's training them to know their shepherd's voice. So are you understanding what's happening here?
Yes.
Now there's a lot of sheep, there's a lot of flocks, there's different shepherds, there's many hills in Judea where Jesus is talking that all had sheep on them and all had shepherds and all had flocks, and you know, and so in the nighttime they'd be in these sheepfolds for protection because there's predators and coyotes or whatever. And for protection. And then somebody would lay across the doorway to protect it at night. And so, but in the morning, every day, the shepherd would get up and lead his flock out to pasture. So when he says in verse 9, in and out and find pasture. You see what he's talking about? There's protection in the nighttime and there's pasture in the daytime. Hallelujah. So with that in mind, then he gets to verse number 10. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The context, can you see the context? Is being saved and having a pastor. The abundant life is not going to work for somebody that doesn't have a pastor. Just getting saved. The potential for you to have abundance is there. It's all yours. But you need somebody that knows God better than you to lead you into it. Praise the Lord. So, somebody says, now, is Jesus the door? Is Jesus the shepherd? Well, yes. You know, the thing Jesus has trouble with is he's everything to us. So to tell a parable and say, okay, this is me. Okay, but this is me also. But this is me also. Because he's everything to us. You have to break it down sometimes to understand it. So praise the Lord. Can you understand that now? So in this parable, he's talking about Jesus being the door through which you got to go to be saved. And then in him, he has a pastor for you. Amen. There's a lot of people that think what I need is healing. I need, you know, I need help with my finances. I need my marriage fixed. I need this and I need that. And no, their real need is they need a pastor. Now, it's not that man that we're talking about. It's that anointing. It's that office. And it's what he's preaching. He, as a man, can do no more for somebody than that person as a man can do for themselves. Amen. So, I like this. Don't you like this? So, in the first 9-10 verses, he's the door. Amen. And so, Jesus puts forth his sheep through pastors. Now, in this context, always remember 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. I want to go there because some of us know this, but I believe it's important to look at it briefly here. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The elders which are among you, Peter's talking to the saints there. And he says the elders. Now, there's teaching we've done in years past that elders, bishops, overseers, pastors, and shepherds are literally all the same office. No difference between elders, shepherds, pastors, bishops, and which did I miss? Overseers. There's no difference. All the pastor's office. And if I had time, I could show that to you in the scriptures. But in this passage, when he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, he's talking about the pastors. I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now notice what he says to elders, who I just said were pastors, feed the flock of God. So feeding the flock is a pastor. But he called them elders, which proves it's the same office. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. See, leadership in the body of Christ is different than out there in the world, like a dictator. All human relationships in the body of Christ are to be governed by the law of love. But he goes on to say, being in samples or examples to the flock. Say flock. And now notice, and when the chief shepherd. Now he switched from elders to shepherds, meaning it's the same thing. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. So notice, Jesus is the chief shepherd. He's the shepherd of the whole body of Christ. I think that's what helps us understand John 10, 1 through 18. He's talking about shepherds, and sometimes he's talking about himself, and sometimes he's talking about the under-shepherds. So Jesus is the shepherd over the whole body of Christ. This is nothing new. We all understand this, but I'm making a point here. But he carries out his, now like I said, shepherd, the word shepherd and pastor, same ministry. So Jesus is the pastor of the whole body of Christ. But he carries out his pastoral ministry to different segments of the body in different parts of the country, the world, so forth, through his under shepherds. Amen. And because he wants to care and tend for them as a pastor with a pastor's heart. Jesus has a pastor's heart. And I don't know about you, but we're going to get to a verse here in a moment that he tells us what is in his heart. So he wants to carry out his pastoral care heart for his people and care for them and tend to their lives. First of all, he brings them into himself through the new birth. But second of all, by raising up shepherds after his heart. Amen. To take us out into all that he has for us. Hallelujah. So being born again is where the potential for that is. But we have to understand it's not just born again, period. It's born again and let somebody lead you out and in to these green pastures. Amen. Being born again is only the potential there. And so many Christians know what being saved is, but they don't know anything about this going in and out with a pastor. Amen. What is pasture? It's having all things in God abundantly, that God has for you abundantly supplied. Hallelujah. I'm eating the green grass of peace and joy right now because I have a pastor. My mind isn't squirrely right now because I sit under Pastor Nancy, who keeps telling me about keeping my attention on the word, keep my attention. And I'm telling you, my life is different. Amen. See, you thought I was preaching this about myself. I'm preaching this concerning myself. I have a pastor. Pastor Debbie and I both have a pastor. And we honor her office and her voice in our lives. So as under shepherds, we're carrying out Jesus' pastoral heart towards his people. Can you say amen? And so when you come into Jesus, start looking for your pastor. Because he's got somebody to help you. Somebody's anointed to help you. Somebody's anointed to help us, Pastor Debbie and I. We're not, you know, there's no such thing as lone rangers in the body of Christ. You don't see sheep out on the hillside all by themselves. They always run around in a flock, right? And they've always got a shepherd. And so, so he's talking about letting someone help you through that pastoral ministry. And so then Matthew 10, verse number 40, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. That's Jesus talking. And Jesus is talking to the ones he was sending out. And he said, if they receive you, since I'm the one that sent you, then they're receiving me. And God is the one that sent me, so they're receiving God and me when they receive you. Woo, my. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of people miss that because it just looked like a man standing up there talking whenever a pastor is sent to their lives. And they don't see who that really is. I didn't say I'm the Messiah. I'm saying I'm sent by the head of the church to pastor. Now, I'm not the only one. There are other people in other cities and other places that God has sent there. I'm not called to the whole body. I'm not the head shepherd. I don't even want to sign up for that. Right? But God has sent us here. Hallelujah. Now, go over now with me, 1 Corinthians 12:18, if you want to go there or just listen. 1 Corinthians 12:18. He hath set every one of us in the body as it pleased him. As it pleased the head shepherd, chief shepherd. Jesus, the head of the church, assigns us all a place where his will is that we be pastored there. It's not the one that has the best looking pastor, although in this church we got that covered. I'm seeing my age when I look in the mirror now, so I'm encouraging myself. Amen. It's not the one closest to the house. Right? Like your dry cleaners, just let your fingers do the walking. No. It's where God, the Spirit of God, plants you. Amen. And where that is, where God has joined you, we know from Ephesians 4:16, there's a supply there for us. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so how you respond, or me, Pastor Debbie, we respond to our pastor, determines how much of that office works for us, including everything that that anointing will do for us. Now, it's not limited to this, but it does include financial prosperity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember the woman over in 1 Kings 17 that made a connection as God led her to, and it brought miracles into her life? Because she received that ministry and got the mantle to work for that. And Matthew 10, verse number 40, he that receives you receives him that sent me, me that sent you. That's right before the verses that he's received a prophet, and the name of prophet gets a prophet's reward. And if that's true about the prophets, true about the pastors, true about all the fivefold ministry offices. Right? But all the fivefold ministry offices are supplements to the pastor. Amen. Now, the way we receive that ministry, the ministry offices, determines what we get out of them. Now, what we're really talking about here is honor. But let's go to Jeremiah before we get to that. Jeremiah 23, verse number 4. I want you to turn to this one. Praise the Lord. Don't look at me like you've heard all this before. You know why you've heard all this before? Because I've preached this before. But just because I preached it once doesn't mean that we don't need to hear it and hear it and hear it. Because we can be getting a measure of what God has for us out of the pastoral office, but not getting everything that God has for us. I know in recent time, God has dealt with me. Pastor Debbie and I talk about it in our home regularly. Pastor Nancy is the highest voice into our life. She gets the most honor. Only honorable words come out of our mouths towards her. We're going to talk about honor a little bit tonight, but we're constantly reaching and pressing
Amen.
To receive all that God has for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you watch the testimony about the aircraft,
yes.
both segments,
yes.
You know there's some things working in our lives because of our honor for the voice God set in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why in all those, as many as possible meetings, we get to them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So notice Jeremiah. Did you find the 23rd chapter? Look at verse number 4. I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. Now, he's not talking about natural food. He's talking about the word of God. And they shall fear no more. Praise the Lord. The answer to so many things is the word getting into people. The word will drive fear out. Praise God. But it'll drive other things out. Nor be dismayed, that means discouraged, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Neither shall they be lacking. Sitting under the word, see, this is not about a man. This is about an anointing that God set in the church. And this is about the word that the ministry office is preaching. That's what feeding means. Feed their spirits with the word of God. And it'll set them free, set the sheep free. And it's important that we honor that office and receive it. So he's saying, neither shall they be lacking. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord said to me some things way back. I don't remember how many years ago it was. I looked at it today, but I didn't look at the date. That he said to me that in this era, this is the era, this era that we're in right here before Jesus comes. This is the era of fullness of everything.
Amen.
Fullness of all the gifts of the Spirit, fullness of supply, fullness of the fivefold ministry offices, fullness of the ministry of angels, fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, fullness of the fulfillment of everything that we have in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he said to me, this will be also the time of the fullness of the office of the pastor.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've had good pastors throughout history of the body of Christ. But for so many years, so many of them apologized for even needing to receive an offering because, well, church has needs. We apologize that we have to talk about money. And there wasn't any faith in it. Said there wasn't any faith in it.
Yeah.
So there couldn't be fullness in the area of people's finances.
Yeah.
But the Lord said to me, this era is the era of fullness. Where there's no apology, there's faith being preached concerning the sheep's abundant living.
Yeah.
in all areas. Hallelujah. And he said to me, in this era, one of the signs of the full office of the ministry of the pastor is prosperity in the sheep's lives that cannot be explained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll demonstrate fullness in this area. Praise God. And so, but it comes because we go from glory to glory, the Bible says. And we'll get into these things that are impossible by through phases from glory to glory. And this will be a sign that God has anointed that pastor. God has called that pastor. And those sheep are sitting under a true God-called, God-appointed, God-anointed pastor preaching the word of God. And that will all produce the fruit, including divine prosperity. Won't be limited to that, because he said they'll be free from fear. They'll be free from discouragement. In other words, they'll build their faith. And they'll put the devil on the run. Amen. But it does include abundance as well. We're talking about abundance of extravagance that offends people. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the test in these last days will not be of the church, will not be of lack. The test will be staying consecrated to God in abundance. I'm talking about people that sit under a true pastor that preaches and teaches the word of God. Hallelujah. And so the word of God will wash you and I and cleanse us from wrong thinking, issues that hinder this flow of God, for issues like an unrenewed mind, like covetousness, because the Bible preaches against these things, right? Issues such as putting the wrong things first, not honoring the local church. Amen. And that's what the word of God will do. It'll prepare us for this kind of flow. So get all these issues, and the Spirit of God will deal with this through the ministry of the office of the pastor. Get all these issues dealt with so that we're ready for abundance of flow. Now, there's different views and people have different opinions, but as I've studied the Word of God, I am convinced, the more I look at it, the more I see it in more and more places, there is a divine end time transfer of finances into the church in the end times. But it won't just be for everybody. It'll be for those that have sat under a pastor and have prepared themselves and proven themselves faithful in a few things, that then they'll be counted worthy to have and be made faithful over large amounts. I'm convinced of it. Now, I got too many verses that people say, well, no, that's not really true. I believe it is true. But it'll be in a time of great shaking in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, praise God. I mean, there's opportunities coming for you to buy buildings with 10 cents on a dollar. And become business owners. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, the Lord told me years ago, he said, you preach this message boldly like it needs to be preached. He said, signs and wonders will start showing up in the lives of the people. Amen. And that's what I've been trying to get to for 20 years at Spirit of Faith Family Church. Amen. And I'd preach a little bit of it. Choking. Okay, we'll back on, off and preach on love. Amen. But how many of you know it's time to go? That'd be a good bumper sticker. How many of you know it's time to go? It's time to get with it. It's time for signs and wonders. In this area, just like in every other area. I remember down, the Lord kept dealing with me. We were traveling on the road before we came to pastor. He kept dealing with me. If you'll preach this bold like I'm telling you to preach it, there'll be signs and wonders happening in the service. One church I was in, he said, because I was there, guest speaker, and they were receiving the tithes and offerings before I got up, and they were sort of apologizing, you know, like, this is, we're so sorry we have to receive the tithes and offerings, you know, sort of like apologizing for it. And I'm trying to just keep it blocked out. It's not my church, not my business. I'm not there to be correcting anything. I'm there to do what God's called me to do. So I'm just keeping my mind on what I'm supposed to be preaching. And, mind my own business. Yep. And the Spirit of God said to me, he said, when you get up there, you tell this congregation, if they'll honor the tithes and offerings time correctly, there'll be signs and wonders in the times of tithes and offerings. I will talk to them about how to prosper.
Yes.
Yes. Honor it properly.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, this is a side issue, we're so sorry we have to talk about it.
No,
this wasn't a side issue with Jesus.
No, that's right.
He stood over by the offerings and watched them, said, this is not something that's not important. I'm watching. So I had to get up there and tell him. I didn't want to, but the Lord said, do it. So, but anyway, he said, he kept telling me, you keep getting bold in this, you preach like it needs to be preached, and there'll be signs and wonders. And we started tapping into that.
Amen.
I'm talking about right during the meeting, people coming and saying, I went into my office to, you know, work today, and my boss gave me a $10,000 bonus. And I could tell you that whole story. It had to do with what happened in the service on Sunday night. Another one. How many of you like these testimonies? We were preaching in a church in New Mexico, and there were some people there that we were preaching on prosperity. And because, you know, this is part of the gospel, too. I sure wish people recognized that, because it is part of the gospel. It's not the only thing. It's not the only thing that's important. Don't misunderstand me. You can have all the money in the world and be tormented in your mind, and that's not prosperity. So there's a lot more to it than just this, but we're preaching this part of it. So we were preaching on that, and I never forget, as the meeting went on, the faith of the people kept building. And during the, because we were preaching some weeknights, during one particular evening service, a testimony came in, some people that said they had been believing God for, to blacktop, or, you know, I think we call it blacktop, their driveway. They lived out in the country, on a country road, out in the country, and up, you know, up a lane that was a little longer than normal. And they wanted to blacktop that because it's just dirt. Their lane was just dirt.
Right.
And so they're believing God for that to be blacktopped or for the money or however God wanted to do it. Well, the state, or maybe it was the county, whoever, was coming by resurfacing the road in front of their driveway. And they did, you know, worked on it for a couple of days. And after the end of one of their days, they came and knocked on their door and said, hello, We finished up the road out here, and we miscalculated how much blacktop we needed to do this, and we can't just take it back to the shop. You know, you got to use it. So they said, would you like us to blacktop your road? They said, yes, we would. And they came to church that night with that miracle. They got their driveway blacktopped. Wow, glory to God. I'm telling you, there's some things coming. I was reading Dr. Jerry Seville. He's got four or five books on favor. The Lord dealt with me. I want you to go through all these. And he said, and now brother, you know, you heard in camp meeting, you heard Dr. Cody say that he's picking it up. No, he's not. I'm picking it up.
Come on.
Did you hear that, my friend? You're not picking it up. 2 weeks ago, we can ask Christine. Where's Christine? I told her to, you know, there she is. I told her, order all those favorite books. I got to read them all. That was 2 weeks before camp meeting. So I'm picking that up. Dr. Cody maybe can have a little bit of it, but I'm getting most of that. And we're going to be preaching on it here in church. But favor will get us into some flows that we haven't been into before.
Yes, it will.
More and more between now and when Jesus comes, you're going to hear people say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but preferential treatment, rules being changed for the redeemed. Glory be to God. There's no way for us to do what we're called to do without favor, without abundance. We got to have it. And so the Lord's been talking to me. And actually, he said to me just a couple days ago, he said, now you're in another level at Spirit of Faith. There's going to be more the higher flows than you've ever had before at Spirit of Faith. Do you receive that?
Yes.
Go to Jeremiah 3:15. See, these things are according to our faith, our responsiveness to the Word along this line, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not just going to happen because it's the will of God. Jeremiah 3:15, I'll give you pastors. Now, this is really going back to John 10, which we were going to say a while ago. I will give you pastors according to my heart. What is his heart? which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not knowledge of science, not knowledge of math, but knowledge of the Word of God, knowing God, knowledge and understanding. That's God's heart for His people. That people not just get saved. Did you hear that? But go in and out and find pastures. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Paul said to the church there in Rome, well, he wrote it in Romans. He said, I magnify my office. I magnify my office. Not the person or not himself, because he couldn't do anything for them any more than in his humanity than they could. But he magnified the anointing. Hallelujah. Well, magnify means draw attention to it and what it will do for people. So you need to know there's prosperity connected to your local church. Let's look at Psalm 92, 12 through 14. Psalm 92, 12 through 14. Praise the Lord. Psalm 92, 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like a palm, the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Have you ever seen those big cedars? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, not just every now and then show up, planted in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still be bringing forth fruit when you get old like Don Lowe. Can you usher me out this side of the auditorium afterwards? Praise God, old and healthy and strong. They shall still be bringing forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Say that out loud. Fat and flourishing. Fat and flourishing. I don't know about you, but I'm believing to be fat. This kind of fat. Not. Amen. Look at Psalm 36, verse number 8. Notice that's connected to being planted in the house of God. Now notice Psalm 36, verse number 8. Psalm 36, verse number 8. While you're turning there, you remember Isaiah 118, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Yeah. Some translations say the fat of the land. Yes. That's what he's talking about. Yes, he's talking about prosperity. Yes. Psalm 36, verse number 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. Yes. Now, in the Old Testament, the house of God was the temple where God's presence dwelt, right? Yeah. In the New Testament, we're the temple. Individually, we're the temple of God. Yeah. But there's also, we've said this and shared it many times, there's much revelation in the New Testament about the corporate house, the local church. Yeah. Much revelation about it in the New Testament, right? And I believe that's the context here. Thou shalt be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Yes. I've watched people's lives, whether it be relatives of ours, whether it be friends, whether it be acquaintances, whether it be fellow ministers. I've watched this. I've been around for a little bit now.
Yes, sir.
Not as long as Don Lowe, but I've been around for a long time. And I've watched. There's a direct connection. It might not show up overnight.
Yeah.
Might not show up in 2 weeks. But there's a direct connection between how somebody honors the local church and stays connected right and how they begin to prosper. Because there's fatness in his house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something for you in the local church called fatness. It's talking about abundance. Right? Look at Psalm 65, verse number 4. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. that he may dwell in thy courts. Of course, that's the presence of God. He shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even the holy temple. So really, you could take the temple out of there and just his presence. And that's in you, living in you all the time. But it's corporately manifested when we get together.
Yeah.
And there's something that starts working for you as you are constantly around that. And not just around it, but actually, you know, jump in and then draw on what's there and begin to walk in the light of what you hear.
Amen.
Here it's called goodness. Other verses it's called fatness. Hallelujah. It's called going in and out and finding pastures. So that you have life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So abundance in this life is for those that allow themselves to be pastored.
Yeah, that's
there's a different way. They're different. That's different than the way humans think about pastors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a man.
Come on.
It's a God-filled man.
Yes,
or woman sent.
Yep.
To your life.
That's right.
To feed your life.
Yes.
Wash you in the water of the word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, to bring you into all that God has for you. Hallelujah. Feeding them with the Word of God. Feeding them with knowledge and understanding. Through that mantle on his life or her life that leads you into green pastures. There's been people I've heard teach that don't have a mantle on their life. That's different than somebody that does it through a mantle. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But that office has to be honored. Let me just wrap this up. That office has to be honored. Let me talk to you a little bit about honor. Would that be all right? How about honoring correction whenever it comes? That's not just somebody deciding that I don't like this, I don't like that. It's what the Word says is right, what the Word says is wrong, and if the Word brings correction.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know in Jesus' hometown, he could there do no mighty work because there wasn't any honor in that hometown? And so how about not being offended at the word when it's preached? In Jesus' hometown, there was three triplets he found running around. He found three things running around, co-joined at the hip. He found unbelief, he found dishonor, and he found offense.
Yep.
Yep. All in the same hometown.
Yep.
They run together. How many of you know he could there do no mighty work? So there was no signs and wonders. There was no flow of healing power. There was nothing he could do for them because of offense, unbelief, and dishonor. Right? How many of you know whenever we have carry honor in our heart for those God's using in our life, that heart cannot get offense in it because it can't get root in a heart like that. A heart like that has a doorkeeper of honor. It won't allow thoughts in that are something other than honor.
Amen.
Offense changes doorkeepers.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And now offense being the doorkeeper will allow other things in other than honorable thoughts. I am a miracle worker. You know why? Because I've had people tell me I was wonderful for years. Like that, I changed and became something other than wonderful. It's a miracle how I can transform myself like that. It wasn't me that changed. It was somebody's doorkeeper changed. Hallelujah. So honor means value. Honor means to attribute worth to something or someone. Honor means to prioritize or shift one's attention on them. It means to do what they say. Amen. Not just some man saying it, but what the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. You know, whenever I'm sitting, Pastor Debbie and I are sitting at the table with Pastor Nancy, we don't talk all about our stuff. Whatever she wants to talk about, that's what we're talking about now. We might have wanted to talk about something. In fact, I was sitting there the whole time during camp meeting this year, and I wanted to talk about something that I have a question about the ministry. Never got a chance to because she was going a different direction. She wanted to talk about something else. So we're talking about something else. I've had people ask in this congregation ask us to go out to lunch. We're going out to lunch, and they did the talking the whole time. You know what they got out of us? Nothing.
Come on.
That's dishonor.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Honor has a flexible schedule. 2 Kings 4:8. Whenever he came by, that woman that she was ready for him. She didn't know his schedule, but whenever he showed up, that's whenever. And that's what honor, that's what I do.
Yeah.
This past week, Pastor Nancy, after one of the lunches for afternoon service. I mean, it was a morning service, but afternoon lunch. She, after we were done, she said, I want to go doing such and such and such. I want you to come with me. I wanted to rest. I needed rest.
Yeah.
But you know what I did?
You did. Yeah.
Went with Pastor Debbie back to the hotel, changed clothes, and went and did what she
That's
wanted
right.
to do.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know what? You know when you sleep? You sleep later.
Later. That's right.
Yeah.
Later.
That's honor.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. Honor, like faith, is of the heart, but it must be acted upon.
Right.
Honor reveals how you, it says how you refer to somebody, meaning the way you talk. It is revealed in how you prefer someone. It's revealed in how you defer to them, meaning like what I said, Pastor Nancy, want to talk about something else, then that's what we're talking about. And it is revealed how I confer upon someone. Confer means to give gifts or to give blessings.
Amen.
It means to value or to prioritize them over yourself. And their well-being over yourself. Remember, David had a mighty man that had honor for him, and he broke through a whole troop of Philistines to go get a drink of water because David was thirsty.
Yeah.
That's honor.
That's honor. Yes, sir. Praise God.
I've been needing to talk about this at church.
Yes.
You know, a pastor can become familiar with people and become old hat.
Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm trying to close. It's you that's pulling so hard. Whatever you honor or whoever you honor, you empower in your life. You give them the authority to speak into your life. Their voice carries weight with you. It matters what they have to say. Amen. They have a right to say something to you that maybe nobody else can say. Pastor Nancy can say anything to Pastor Debbie and I that she wants to say. And at times she said some things. It wasn't always a stroke of, you know, like the cat's turning the other direction. It was like she turned us around and stroked our fur backwards.
Praise God. Praise God.
She's not being mean to us. She's helping us.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll be leaving right after this. Those who honor, he will honor. Remember that in the Bible? I'm almost done. I know it seems like we're going long, but I'm almost done. Those that honor, he will honor. There's a reward attached to honoring ministry offices.
Yes.
Jesus said that in Matthew chapter number 10. They that receive a prophet, and the name of prophet has a prophet's reward. What's the reward? It's that anointing on that office working for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Honor, he said, honor all men, give honor to whom honor is due. You ever read that? Romans 13, give honor to whom honor is due. So honor, there are people and there are things that God says that is due honor.
Yes.
And like a bill that is due, pay what is due.
Yes, that's good.
Well, I don't feel like it. Well, honor people who are honor bound do what they don't feel like.
Yeah.
I've just been needing to say some of these things. When someone treats somebody as common or unimportant that God brought into their life, God calls that despising in his word. Amen. So they don't see them like God sees them in their life. Pastors are supposed to teach honor. They don't learn this. The body of Christ comes in out of the world who has a spirit of dishonor about anything God values. There's things that God says are precious that the world says is worth nothing. There are things that the world says are valuable that God says is worth nothing. They have a totally different standard of honor in the world than God has in the church. And the church is his house, so he gets to set the standard of what is honored and what is not important. Amen. We've got to have somebody tell us these things. I get amazed at how people, they eventually start treating you like you're just another person. Well, I'm just as human as anybody else. I put my britches on the same way everybody else does. But in the office, I'm not just another person. You say, you're tooting your own horn. Well, I live this way towards my pastor. This is not just for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. All fivefold ministry offices need a pastor. Amen. And there's a lot more to receiving from God than just faith. In fact, if you honor properly, faith will almost be automatic. Because you so value what the Word says, that's really, it'll take you right into faith before you even realize, okay, I got to believe, I got to, you know, you're just basically in it because you honor properly. I could take more time on that if I had time. Hallelujah. How many of you know Jesus said to the disciples, don't cast your pearls before swine? Basically, he's basically saying you can't share things with people that they don't appreciate. You might share it, but they don't get it. And those who do appreciate it and value it get more. That's why some people stay in the same place in their lives. Other people just keep abounding and increasing, prospering. Their life becomes stable. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this is a prosperity message, really. It might sound like something different, but it's really a prosperity message. You can stand with me to your feet. When Pastor Debbie and I connected up, Brother Hagin went to heaven. Now, we still feed on Brother Hagin all the time. You wouldn't be surprised if you came into our house and heard Brother Hagin going on YouTube or something. When Brother Hagin went to heaven, God connected us with Pastor Nancy and Dr. Dufresne. And you know what happened in our finances with no other explanation other than when we connected with them? You know what happened? It went boom like that. See, there was abundance in being connected with our pastor. Do you believe that? When I say connected, I don't mean just, okay, you know, on paper there are connections. I'm talking about properly honoring that voice into our lives. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for answers tonight. Father, thank you for instruction. Thank you for correction. Thank you, Father God, for enlightenment. Father God, these are issues that you've put on my heart to share. We all come up. We all come into the fullness of what you have for us. Thank you, Father, for giving us help and answers. Lord, we're saying these things out of your direction, out of the leading of the Spirit. And we trust there's good soil. And this word found a home in good soil tonight. We give you praise, Father. We're all coming up. We're all coming up in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for signs and wonders amongst this congregation. Oh, Father, things that can't be explained any other way than your word is working in our lives. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father, for it. We decide to come into it in full faith. We approach what we heard tonight in full faith, not defending ourselves, not making excuses, but just jumping in with both feet into your word. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now tell your neighbor, from now on, I will be a sign and a wonder in Eastern Iowa of those that are in unbelief around us. And I will walk in the full supply that heaven has for me as one who is saved and goes in and out and finds pasture. Eastern Iowa is about to see things they've never seen before. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got so much in my heart I want to share. You see in the Bible when people came into these things, they used it to be a blessing to others. There's so much I want to share along that line. Hallelujah. So we're going together. Going in together. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.